have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you now for another beautiful day and your blessings to us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. I pray you bless our efforts now as we look at your word. Give us a spirit of understanding and use us, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. My speaking won't be very clear because of this, my packing in my nose. Starting with verse 21, there's actually, okay, we'll just go with verse 21 here. Read 21 through, I guess, the rest of the chapter. Who will read it?
I'll read it. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil and disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Okay. Verse 21, and you notice verse 18, there's three verses here that say the same thing. Verse 18, verse 21, and verse 28. They all say, they're all the same, they all say the same thing. God gave them up, and we'll deal with them as we come to them. But here, verse 21, what are the results of suppressing the truth about God, which is known to all men? What is the result of doing that?
Our thinking becomes futile. Our hearts are darkened.
Okay. Vain. What causes a vain? We see that causes a vain imagination. Vain is defined as stupid, foolish, or senseless. The abandonment to the vile affections starts with two things. What are the two things there in verse 21 that starts the abandonment? The note's already in that one. That's much later. What's the two things there in verse 21 that are the basis of the abandonment?
They neither glorify him nor give thanks to him.
Okay. They fail to glorify God as God. We have here 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So they fail to do the glory of God. Now notice, they know these things. This, all these things are written in their hearts. but they suppress them, and three times we're told that. And the failure to give thanks. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. They willfully rejected what natural knowledge of God that they had been given. When they reject God, what must they do? When a person rejects God, what must he do? When a person rejects God, what must he do? We see it right here in the text. What happens when they reject God? They glorified him not, and neither were thankful. And what was the result?
Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened.
They became vain in their imaginations and their heart was darkened. Turning from God, they cannot see cause and effect. They imagine what the effects of their actions should be. Then when their imagined results fail, they are unable to make the cause and effect connection. We see that all around us. Why can't people see what the effects of what they're doing are going to be? Ecclesiastes 7:29. Somebody look it up there. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29.
After Proverbs
7:29. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29.
Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have thought out many inventions.
Okay. God's made man upright, but they seek out many inventions. And we see here their vain imaginations seek many imaginations, vain inventions, wicked inventions. Proverbs 21:15. Did I leave it written out in your notes there?
Yeah,
the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is right. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than for him. And then the next one, Isaiah 5:21. Okay, someone read that.
I'll be right there. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight.
Okay. God places curse on those. We see that's they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. Here's a quote from Charles Hodge. The thoughts of the heathen concerning God are perverted and corrupt thoughts. The whole clause, therefore, means that the heathen, and we're talking about verse 21, that the heathen, in refusing to recognize a true God, entertained foolish and wicked thoughts of the divine being. That is, they sank into folly and sin of idolatry, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They lost the light of divine knowledge, destitute of understanding. Understanding, insight into the nature of divine things. The consequence of this want of divine knowledge was darkness. So what did he say here in verse 21? Failing to recognize the true God, they entertain foolish and wicked thoughts. They become blind fools, wandering in darkness and following their vain, foolish imaginations. Hosea 4:6. Did I leave that one in the notes?
Yeah.
Someone, okay. some, I guess, look it up there. Hosea 4 and verse 6.
My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of God, I also will ignore your children.
Okay. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, why do they lack knowledge according to Romans 1 and verse 21? Why do they lack knowledge?
They didn't glorify God or give Him thanks.
Right. Their foolish heart was darkened. They brought it upon themselves. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And verse 18, it goes back to verse 18. They willfully rejected the knowledge of God. That knowledge was inborn, and it's also a revealed knowledge. Look around in nature, and there is a natural revelation of the knowledge of God. And of course, then we have the written revelation, the inward revelation, the natural revelation, and then the inborn revelation. They willingly rejected. Now, darkened. That is, their natural reason has departed from them. Those who follow Christ are amazed at the stupidity of those who profess to be wise. No one, and then just look on down in Romans 2 and verse 16, just down the way there a little bit. And read it, Romans 2, 16.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Okay. So we see that they can't plead ignorance, because God's going to judge according to Christ, according to the gospel. Throughout Scripture, God argues from the saved to the unsaved. He points out the judgment that awaits His people for their indifference and paganism. Then He points out throughout Scripture, He argues from the greater to the lesser. He argues of how bad it's going to be for His people for ignoring Him. And then He says, if it's going to be this bad for His people, then what's it going to be like for the unsaved? And we saw that. You can find that in Hebrews 12 and Psalm 73 are good examples of this. If it's going to be bad news for His people, then it's going to be doubly bad news for the unsaved. As we observe what is around us, we are reminded that society is never destroyed for the wickedness of the heathen. It's destroyed because of the worldliness of God's people. Peter tells us that, and I think we've already looked it up, that judgment must begin in the house of God. When God's people refuse to be thankful and glorify God, then what can we expect of the pagans around us? Of course, we can't expect them to be better than what God's people claim to be. We're seeing the results of Romans 1:21 taking place. Our nation and our churches are sinking deeper and deeper into the extreme vileness that Paul describes here in Romans 1. We'll start going down through it here in a minute. When men continually push down or push aside the knowledge of God, God gives them up to the lawless mind and reprobate desires. The result, when He gives them up, is a completely lawless body, as we see on down in chapter 1. As we will see in verse 26, sodomy wars against God's very order of society, the family. The end result is that God simply allows, when men violate verse 21, they know God, glorify Him not, and neither is thankful, then God withdraws His restraining hand and allows man to run headlong to his own destruction. That's what he says there. Became vain in their imaginations. And then we go on down through it. Hosea 3 and verse 9.
13.
I'm sorry. Yeah, why don't we try Hosea 13 verse 9. It will probably fit in the message here better. Hosea 13 and verse 9. Okay, one of you read it.
You are destroyed, O Israel, because you are against me, against your helper.
Okay, the King James here says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. They turned their back on God and destroyed themselves. And we have to say the same thing about sinners today. They destroy themselves. They have the inborn knowledge of God. They have the knowledge of God all around them. But yet they reject that. And in rejecting that knowledge, we see in the end of Romans 1 here, in rejecting that knowledge, they destroy themselves. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45.
All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you.
Okay. These things will pursue us. Then Psalms 47 and verse 4. Psalms 47 and verse 4 says,
He should choose our inheritance for us, the exultancy of Jacob, whom he loved.
He shall choose our inheritance, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. In other words, we don't get to choose the results of our sin or the results of our goodness. God's the one who establishes what the results will be. He doesn't give us a choice. We do not get to choose the good or bad results. Our natural tendency is to do what? When people get in trouble, who's usually the first one they blame?
God,
sure. They blame God. The natural tendency is to blame God for the results of our sin. But Paul tells us in chapter 2, which we will see, that the mercy of God holds back the results of sin. He gives a man a chance to repent and change. In the end, if a man remains hardened in his sin, the natural results will come to pass. It's like God's mercy is like a dam that holds back the results until the dam overflows, until he opens the dam, and then it overfloods us. And we'll see that in chapter 2. Throughout Scripture, we see that God does not give up on man until man gives up on God. Now, verse 25... we saw verse 20, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who worship the truth, who turned who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The truth of God has been subtly changed into a lie for many reasons. The truth is changed so slowly that the change goes unnoticed by the majority of Christians. Now, as I study the King James and carry the King James and listen to other translations being read or used, I've seen that other translations over the years they have many subtle changes, and many of them are not too subtle. Some of them directly change the meaning of a passage. More than a few Bible scholars have attributed the subtle change of truth for lies in the various translations of the scriptures. I have a parallel Bible that gives the King James plus three or four different versions along beside of it. I don't even know where it is anymore, but it shows, it makes it easy to compare how these subtle changes turn into big, big changes of a doctrine. If anyone should know about glorifying God as God and the judgment of God against all unrighteousness, we should know that. We must get back to glorifying God as God if we expect society to return to godliness. Now, this is interesting. I put the dates in here. I found the dates here quite interesting. The fallen nature is shown in Abraham, and we saw that in Hebrews, when we looked at Hebrews. Abraham was born 292 years after the flood. Noah and Abraham were alive together for 58 years. Shem lived for 502 years after the flood. The destruction of Sodom happened 400 years after the flood, or 102 years before Shem died. In fact, Shem lived for 150 years after Abraham was born, and for 30 years after Jacob was given Rachel or Rebekah for wife. All that to say this, Shem lived through the wrath of God as it was revealed from heaven in the flood. Though Shem was still alive as a written living testimony of God's wrath from heaven, Sodom became so corrupt it had to be destroyed. I mean, here was a man who personally witnessed the wrath of God from heaven in the flood, and he lived through it, but yet a man totally ignored that, evidently thinking that he could be an exception. But Sodom became so corrupt, even while Shem was alive, that it had to be destroyed. Belief in and the fear of God had been lost. As we saw in Hebrews 11, God called Abraham to establish a new kingdom, a kingdom of faith, which would lead to Christ and included all who had faith in Abraham. So we see here in Romans 1 that though men know God, they refuse to glorify Him as God, and the result is all manner of wickedness and uncleanness, to where everything they do is against nature. Verse 28, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Paul deals with the fallen desire thoroughly in Romans. Now, this goes to the new handout I gave you, because this isn't in the old one. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man wants a God who will allow him to sail to heaven on the smooth seas and following whichever wind blows the hardest. Man wants a God who will allow him to go to heaven with no real commitment on his part. Man wants a God who does not demand a clean, holy life. Man wants a God who will allow man to follow his own heart. Worship and serve the Creator, serve the creature. Now notice here, not only does man worship the works of his own hand, but what else? He worships himself as God. I'm a creature. So when I demand to be able to do my own thing or follow my own heart, then I am worshiping myself. I am worshiping a creature as God. I'm worshiping myself as my own God. Verse 26, Okay. For this reason, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, this is strange. Look at what is the order given here in verses 26 and 27. What is the order?
It starts with women.
Right. He starts with the women, and that's strange. You would think it'd be he would start with the men, but he starts with the women here. But even their women. So the first sign is that women turn their backs on God, and turning their backs on God, they turn their backs on men. Work that which is unseemly between themselves. Women are normally the last ones to be affected by moral decay. When we see corruption among women, we know that virtue has been lost. I'm not that old. Betty and I are not that old. We're just young people. But we're both shocked to see the downward slide of women in just our few days on earth. It's just shocking. One of the most shocking things to me was one winter when I was laid off from construction. We was laid aside from construction because of the weather. One of the jobs I had was for Pinkerton's. And you would go in as an undercover agent into the company to find out what kind of turmoil might be going on or what was happening so that they would know. And one of the shocking things to me was the vileness of the women. I mean, that was back in the 60s, probably 67 or so. And it was really shocking to me. I just had never been around women like that, even in the military. I hadn't been around women like that. Like they were in the workplace.
Like the things they said?
Oh, yeah. The things they said and the way they talked.
Cursing,
cursing and just like one of the men.
Sailors.
Only worse, yeah. not like this sailor, believe me. But I was shocked, and I've been shocked to see the downward slide of women just in our few days on earth. Women used to take pride in their modesty. Now it's just the opposite. They seem to take pride in nakedness as they reveal as much skin as possible and still keep the vital parts, very vital parts, covered. And this includes professed Christian women. We were told by a young lady in the Moorfield High School when we were meeting with some kids there of a group of girls in the school that were what they called bi-curious. In other words, they were checking out sodomy as well as lesbianism as well as regular sex. You know what I mean. And today it's not uncommon to hear a female teachers having very intimate affairs with their students. In fact, I started to look for it, and I didn't get a chance to look it up. I forgot to finish looking it up. I saw an article on WorldNet Daily that they were trying, I think it's in Pennsylvania, it was legal for teachers to have affairs with their students as long as the students were over 16 years old. And they were trying to, the legislature was trying to change that to where no affairs between students, period. And the teachers' unions were fighting it. It was the teachers' unions who wanted to keep that those kind of affairs legal. The immoral affairs on immorality on college campuses are astounding. I'm always shocked to see beautiful young women given over to complete abandonment to evil of all kinds. Of course, we can go back to Romans 1 and verse 18. What happened several years ago? I'm sorry. Yeah, 118, really. Against all who hold truth and unrighteousness. What did, it was a big thing back in the 70s when they so-called kicked prayer out of school. And then they worked to get the Ten Commandments off the walls of the classrooms. We can't have those Ten Commandments there because they say, thou shalt not. We can't have those. But as a result from that time, we see how quickly public education has deteriorated. We're told in Romans 1:18 of the natural result of suppressing God from the natural from the public view. We should not be surprised then when verses 22 through 32 take place. Now, verse 27, now we come, okay, read verse 27, someone.
In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion.
Okay. The next step now is with men. Men with men. Women are concerned with women. Men are concerned with men. Women lusting after women. Men lusting after men. Notice here, it is a total revolt against God's order. From the very beginning, God's order was man with woman and woman with man. So we see here, it's a total revolt against God. Verse 27, we also see receiving in themselves those who God has allowed to go into the lust that they wanted, now receive in themselves the recompense of their error. The payment comes due. Distress, sickness, terrible disease.
There's a, do you keep up, you watch the news at all?
We don't have a TV. Only thing I get is what's on the web.
There's a one of the candidates running for president. He's a openly gay guy, but he professes to be a Christian. You heard about him?
Well, yeah, I did. I've read about him.
And how he's attacking Mike Pence. Mike Pence, you know, he's a Christian. You know, a more conservative Christian.
And, excuse me, I need to get a piece of toilet paper here real quick.
Right.
My nose is running over.
Okay.
Did you pause it?
No.
Do you want one, honey? I shouldn't
give you two.
No, that's really good.
Yeah, you're starting to get belly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd love so dearly to be able to blow my nose, but not yet.
Wow.
Not yet.
Beautiful.
Anyway, but Mike Pence has really suffered persecution in D.C.,
yeah?
In the crowd. I mean, they hate the stand that he has taken. Particularly not going anywhere without his wife. That really ticked him off. and not drinking. So he needs our prayer because he is maintaining his Christian testimony there in that lion's den. And it's amazing, these people think that because they think that way, everybody does. Like that sodomite running for president. Well, I'm this way. I mean, it's just natural. Surely there's enough sodomites out there that I can get elected without any problem. And all these people, they live in a dream world, it seems. They think because they know somebody else or they know half a dozen other people think like they do, then they have a corner on it. And it's really sad the situation we're in. But it comes back. This nation, back to verse 21, this nation has forsaken, because they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So this nation knew God. It's not, they've no longer glorifying him as God, and we've become a very unthankful nation. And we see now vanity and foolishness is just taking over. I mean, these people are crazy. They're just off the deep end, to say the least. Do you ever listen to Rush Limbaugh, any?
I've listened to him before. Yeah. Not in a while.
Yeah. Well, he got a lot of things to say, of course. But he's right there. These people are off the rails. They just completely lost their minds. So, verse 27, receiving in themselves. This has been connected with AIDS, which the sodomite is receiving in themselves the results of their sodomy. And of course the sodomites loudly deny any such connection there with verse 27.
You know, something that guy running for president who's gay and says he's a Christian, he said, you know, he's kind of bickering with Mike Pence, saying, you know, all the Mike Pences of the world, you know, if you guys have a problem with me, you know, it's not me you have a problem with. It's my creator you have a problem with. Yeah.
Well, you ought to say, it's my father you have the problem with, because his father is the devil. You are your father the devil. So we have a problem with his father. And the Lord identified his father as the devil. And it's just anything to excuse. The natural man excuses his wickedness and his evil, and we're in a day of toleration today. Supposedly we got to tolerate them, we got to put up with them, got to make room for them, but yet they won't tolerate Christians. He's allowed to get up on TV and tell how much he loves sodomy and that kind of stuff, and the TV promotes him all over the place. The media promotes him, but you get up and talk like Mike Pence talks about Christianity, and boy, they put a hush-hush on him. They mask him over. So it's, they wanted freedom of speech, and we knew it was happening many years ago when this freedom of speech was being demanded back in, before the Vietnam era, actually. And we knew what it resulted in. Once they got in control, then there would be no more freedom of speech. And that's the way the wicked do continually, is when they get in control, then they have to shut off any kind of challenge to them.
Political,
which is, yeah, they have to go with political correctness now. Okay. Verse 27, they said that's many times connected with AIDS. Verse 28, and just keeps going on here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's the third time, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This is the third time they push God aside. God now gives them over to a debased mind, or to their perverted way of thinking. And we see the natural results of that perverted way of thinking listed in verses 29 through 31. These are the natural results of perverted thinking. The public schools with Christian support have continually refused to retain God in their knowledge. And then they and the parents stand amazed what is taking place in the public schools. They've become so perverted in their thinking that they cannot understand what is causing the evils in their various anti-God systems, such as education and in civil and individual governments. verse 28. See what? Verse 28, reprobate. Turn them over to a reprobate mind. That is, that which does not prove itself such as it ought. The word is translated as castaway and rejected by God. Reprobate refers to anyone in a schoolroom or in life who cannot pass the test. It means a failure and goes as far as to pass itself as a success or good. Now, a good example here is the sodomites, both male and female. They reject the truth of God that is built into them, and they now consider that they are doing good, just like that guy said. He's reprobate in his mind. He's thinking that he's doing good. He's thinking he's doing the right thing because he has been given over to a reprobate mind. He has forced God out of his thoughts. He's suppressed God, the knowledge of God. He's suppressed that. And now he thinks he's doing the right thing. That is the natural result of suppressing God, of pushing God out of one's mind. They reject God and now consider what they're doing as good. And they demand that everyone else accept them as good and proper. Men, both saved and unsaved, for whatever reason, desert God in order to be his own God, able to determine for themselves what is right and wrong. We should say they desert God for the God of this world, money, fame, and glory. God then deserts them, leaving them to reap what they have sown. I will read one of the verses here. Isaiah 5 and verse 25.
Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Even though he's done these things, he's still angry at him. And then Isaiah 9:17 says about the same thing. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is a hypocrite, an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand stretched out still. And it seems like we're surrounded by hypocrites everywhere. And they speak folly. His wrath is not appeased. Titus 1:16 there. Titus 1:16.
They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good.
Okay. King James there says, and disobedient, and unto every good work, reprobate. The term there is reprobate.
Unfit for doing anything good.
Right. Not doing anything right. They profess Christ, but their actions fail the test. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or reprobate, is the word there. In other words, God will give up even his people who insist on worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Lawlessness will have the same results, whether saved or unsaved. Now, verse 18, verse 28. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and it's all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then we have again in verse 21, because they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. 20. Being understood as made even his internal. Anyway, they suppress, and then 28, even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, which is born in. Now, God gives them over or turn them loose to do whatever their vile imaginations could imagine. And we cannot imagine what is taking place with these babies that are being born alive and but are considered dead. We cannot imagine. Our most vile imagination will not match what these wicked men are doing who have rejected God. God gave them over, turned them loose to do whatever their vile imaginations could imagine. The result is to do those things which are not convenient. Man here is given over to the reprobate mind because he suppresses the knowledge of God. Now, here's some. I'm going to give you some things here. Did I leave them in there? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did I leave them in the notes?
First, second, third, fourth, fifth.
Yeah, but did I put anything on them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I did. I should have left them blank. He thinks he can improve on God's creation, and we see that in the GMOs. God didn't make this plant proper, so I've got to remake it. They're crossing salmon with strawberries so they'll grow faster, and stupid stuff like that. Second, he thinks he can improve on God's design for animals and fish and even human babies. Third, he thinks he can control the weather. How stupid. He thinks he can reinvent the family. He thinks he can reverse the roles of men and women in society. Deuteronomy 22:5. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5.
We have it here.
Oh, I left it in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I can read it because I haven't read it.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
I cannot tell you how many messages I have heard that preach that passage as saying men can't wear dresses and women can't wear pants. I've heard them all. But The passage is saying that the roles of men and women. Women have a role in society, and men have a role in society. Women have no business being in the army and going into battle. That's men's job. That's a man's role. But when a woman puts on battle fatigues, if that's what you want to call it, or army clothes, then she is violating this passage. Women shall not wear that which pertaineth to man. She puts on a pair of jeans so she can go climb a light pole. Well, that's a man's job. That's a violation of this passage. So it has to do with changing the individual's role in society. That's a man's role, and this is a woman's role. Of course, healthcare, that's pretty much fits into a woman's role. With nursing and those kind of things, and women are very good at that. They've learned to do that in the home normally. but it has to do with changing a person's role in society. You go to work and your husband stays home and cares for the children. Well, now there are situations where that has to be done, obviously. But that's not God's order of things. It's God's order of things is for the man to support his family. But there are situations where the woman, where the wife has to support the family. And that's totally acceptable here. Psalms 14:1. This is a common verse.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good.
Okay, abominable deeds. Okay, when a man says there is no God, what does that leave him open to? And we go back to verse 28 there.
Being given over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah. To do those things which are not convenient. To do those things that are totally against nature. When he says there is no God, he's open then to following his vain imaginations. And all these things here fall right into place. These are the natural results of saying there is no God. And then Psalms 53:1 says the same thing. No need to look at it. There's nothing outside the vain imaginations of those who suppress the knowledge of God. Verses 23 and 24. The natural man will... Okay, did we read it? Let me get to 23. Yeah, we've already read 23 and 24. The natural man will abandon the glory of the incorruptible God and replace him with a God more like himself, one who will allow him to pursue his own lusts. Even Christians have changed the Lord God Almighty into an image made like unto himself. Now, verses 29 through 31, did I leave the definitions in there? Mm-hmm. I did, okay. Gives a list of the natural results of abandoning God. Unrighteousness, that is, injustice, lawlessness, and all that follows then falls under unrighteousness. Fornication, sexual sins of all kinds, including sodomy, bestiality, and it also includes worshiping idols. Wickedness, depravity, iniquity, wickedness, malice, evil purposes and desires. Covetousness, that is a greedy desire to have more. Maliciousness, that is malice, ill will, desire to injure, not ashamed to break laws. Full of envy, a feeling of grudging admiration, and desire to have something that is belongs to someone else. Murder, obviously we can follow murder, just even hatred in your heart. Debate, that's a strife over words. And I didn't look up the new passages with these. There's many of them that talks about striving over words, and we could spend spend 2 weeks just developing the New Testament illustrations of these. Striving about words. Deceit, guile, and craftiness. Eve was deceived in the transgression. Beguiled, she said, what did she say of Satan? The serpent beguiled me, deceived me craftily. Malignity, that is depravity of heart and life. Whisperer, secret slander. Backbiters, defaming, speaking evil. Haters of God, and we've seen that. Despiteful, this is one who is lifted up with pride, either heaps insulting languages upon others or does them some shameful act of wrong. Proud, an overweening estimation of one's means of merits, despising others or even treating them with contempt and haughtiness. And there's, like I said, I didn't take the time to look up the New Testament passages on these, other passages that deal with these. boasters, empty pretenders, inventors of evil things, evil feelings, actions, thinking, destructive and injurious, disobedience to parents. This could be expanded to being disobedient to authority, because those who are disobedient to parents in the home will definitely be disobedient to authority, because they learn their authority in the home. And when a child gets out of the home without being without learning to be subject to authority, then they are in for a very difficult life. Disobedient to parents without understanding, that is stupid and foolish. Covenant breakers, that is faithlessness. The days of handshakes are gone, and not even contracts will hold one to his word. My dad lost untold sums of money because he would do business with a handshake, and the people he did the business with violated the handshake. They didn't fulfill their word. And I remember them having to sell a farm, 110-acre farm, because a handshake deal fell through, and he had to sell the farm in order to pay what the man had agreed to pay. Without natural affection. Now we see that very clearly in the abortion industry. These people have no natural affections. What more can we say? Implacable, that is truce breakers, unwilling to enter into mutual agreements or covenants. And then unmerciful, that pretty well sums itself up. And we'll just, okay, I got a page left. We can be done here by 7. You want to go ahead and finish the first chapter. Verse 32 sums up verses 18 and 28. They know what is right, but continue in their vanity. Many things are excused under alternative lifestyle. And we are told over and over that even Christians are expected to accept their evil lifestyles, like that guy's running for president. He said, well, I'm a Christian. I do these things. You got to accept me. This is my lifestyle. And what we hear songs, anyway, this is who I am. You've got to accept me. Well, I'm a Christian. This is who I am. You've got to accept me. Oh, no, I don't. So we know that that's definitely a one-way street. But God is judgmental. God does not condone any kind of lifestyle that he has not laid out in his word. He is not one such as we. The wicked are receiving or will receive their just reward in themselves. Israel could not blame God for allowing or even for sending Nebuchadnezzar to come against her and destroy Jerusalem, nor Rome to come against her and carry captives those they did not kill. So that applies both to Nebuchadnezzar and to Rome. Jeremiah 2, verse 17. Chip?
Did she find it yet?
She did.
17 to 19.
Yeah, 17 to 19.
Hast thou not preferred this unto thyself, and that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the water of Ehor?
I think you skipped some there. Hast thou not procured or brought this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And verse 19, you skipped the verse. I'm sorry, you did. I didn't put 18. Okay, my apologies. Okay, and I left 18 out of here. So go ahead and go with 19.
Okay. Thy own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reproof thee. Know it therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee.
Saith the Lord God.
The Lord of God of hosts.
Then Hosea 3:13-9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. We've already read that once. But in me is thy help. There is no one to blame today for the terrible mess we are in, except God's people who have turned from God. Verses 29-31, they know the judgment of God against those things, because the basic knowledge of God is built into every man. However, though knowing his judgment, they continue on in their evil. Verse 30. Now, someone look up Psalms 50. Daily Psalms 50.
You have it on.
Verse 6. Oh, I left it there. Okay. Verse 32 goes further. Those who have turned from God not only do things worthy of death, but they fail to condemn those who are doing those things. And I leave Psalms 50 spelled out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing that thou hatest instruction, casteth thy my word behind thee, when thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Verse 19, thou givest mouthhood to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. In other words, when we fail to speak out against evil, then we are made partakers of that evil. That's a very serious indictment against Christian parents who send their children to government education system. Romans 1, 32 clearly tells us, let's go here, I'll look at Romans 1, 32. Who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy to death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Clearly tells us that those who do these things, including sending their children to government schools, know that God condemns these things, but they don't care. Rather, they live their lives as they please and find others who will agree with them and live the same way. Honoring and serving the creature more than the Creator receives in themselves the just reward of their error. God made man to serve him with their lives, their bodies, and their children. When men obey God, he will experience happiness. When man refuses to serve God and keep his commandments, then God gives him over to the vile affections to do those things that are against nature. Even in what were former Christian countries, the truth of God has been changed into a lie. And then when one speaks out for righteousness, he faces persecution or even prosecution. Verse 28, those who are thankful, unthankful, vain, and foolish continue to push God aside. Many of us are like those described here in 29-31. But 1 Corinthians 6:11. Did I leave it in your notes?
Mm-hmm.
The passage, that's an important passage. When the devil comes to us and says, oh, you were like that at one time. You don't have any right to, you don't have any right to say anything to anyone and to think otherwise. But this is a passage. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. At the time, there may have been a certain amount of pleasure in those various activities listed, but when the Spirit of God, but then the Spirit of God revealed differently. Because God gave them up and took his restraints off of them, does not release them from the responsibility, for they shall stand before God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that which he hath done, whether they be good or bad. The time of judgment seat of Christ holds no fear for us. who have been obedient, we've been washed, we've been sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. We can look forward to that day when we stand before Him because of Christ. Any comments or questions? We kind of rushed through the last part of it there to finish up this chapter after 11 weeks.
The 2 Corinthians 5:10, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Does that...
Look up the passage and read the whole passage. And what's the passage?
5:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That's something I've kind of wondered about. Because as Christians, it says, you know, you're forgiven your sins. Are we judged at the end? I mean, are we judged for our sins? Are we supposed to be saved?
Well, let me look confident all here before the judgment of the seat of Christ. I've got a passage here for that.
Revelation, isn't it?
No, it's not that one. Talks about our works, wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah. Okay, James?
Samuel, Psalms, Matthew, Acts, Jude, Romans, Corinthians. I'll just look up the word. There's nothing for its time. God is not mocked. wood, hay, and stubble is the verse I want. Meats for the belly. Here, I'll just look
at it. Did you look up stubble?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. First Corinthians 3:12.
If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work.
On down to verse 15.
If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15 there explains it. What is that loss? I don't know. But if we build wood, hay, and stubble in the Lord, then there will be a loss. I don't know. All I know, all we can assume is what the scriptures say, that there will be loss. There's many speculations on it, but what it is, we don't know.
Christ prepared a place for us. He's going to prepare a place for us. And there's also crowns that will be given. But maybe we might just get a little plastic tiara. But we will be confronted with our sins for our whole life, that we can see the magnitude of the grace of God in forgiving us through Jesus Christ. I believe. Because Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, then I will know, even as also I have been known. And so I think we're going to find out all these thoughts that we had, all the things that we thought were good but that were not. And yet God says, enter into the joy.
I guess I think when I hear that we're going to be judged, it's like when you're judged, you know, It's like a harsh thing.
But Christ took our judgment.
Yeah. We'll be judged, but we already have the forgiveness.
And we don't know. All we know is just basically what is said there, and we enter into an area of speculation that we really, these are the hidden things of God, that the secret things belong to Him. The things that are revealed are given to us and our children. So these are some of the secret things that belong to God. So we better pray here before we get to, let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for the time we can look at your words. Thank you for preserving this for us, Father. Might we learn to examine your word and the things. Help us to live a life that is holy. We thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the redemption that is in Christ that has put all these things under the blood that we were involved in here in our past life. Thank you for the glories of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay.